Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/realID or visit your local DMV.
Welcome back to another episode of Valk's Valley. The last time we recorded, or since the last time we recorded, Valkyries are 2-1, including a waxing of the Las Vegas Aces and an overtime victory over the LA Sparks. The one loss was a game in which they were playing actually very well until the fourth quarter, and then Phoenix just ran away with it. But your 4-5 Valkyries, it's kind of crazy that they're not like 1-8 right now.
I think after the first podcast we did when the season started, I think they had only played the Sparks in the first home opener. I said that I think fans should expect this team to only win like 3 games. Newsflash, they have already beat my season prediction, which doesn't bode well for some of, you know, the prospects that I have.
Yeah, you were hoping for a tank. To them.
I was hoping for like a respectable tank, like try hard for 3.5, and then it just so happens that you don't have the talent to keep up in that last half quarter. And I thought that was going to be the case. And, you know, I think a lot of things have been going really well. Like this isn't luck by any means. I think they're doing a lot of things well, which I think we'll talk about. But yeah.
So the previous two expansion teams, Chicago in 2006, Atlanta in 2008. Chicago went 5-29. Atlanta went 4-30. So the Valkyries, with one more win, could already win as many games as Chicago did in 2006, and they already have as many wins as Atlanta did in 2008. I kind of wonder why. You would imagine the league is better, but I'm going to guess, and this is just my very like remedial understanding of the WNBA, my guess is that women's basketball in general, especially with the European players, the talent pool has just widened. And so while a lot of the teams are just overall have more talent, you also have some of the players who were left off of rosters or who were in the expansion draft, or we'll talk about who they were able to pick up this week, just this week. I'm just guessing overall there's just more talent available for that 13th team to be not terrible, like to be decent. And we'll see, because at 4-5, they're solid right now. We will have this conversation in a second about if this is real or if we should expect them to be kind of what you were saying. But it just feels like player for player, this Valkyries team is not what you would consider like a normal expansion team.
Yeah. And I've been thinking that I feel like the GM and the coach are just like on the same page where it comes to like the coach's game plan with what the GM is acquiring with the talent they're getting. Like, I was trying to think about it because I was just watching the Sparks play and I was just like, the Valkyries are getting whatever they want on this pick and roll every single time because the Sparks backup centers just cannot like keep up. Like they're too slow. And I keep wondering, like, I wonder what the Sparks head coach is like game plan is when she plays these slower, taller fives, like if, and then I just think about it from the Valkyrie side, it's like, okay, Coach Nat said very clearly that she wants to play defense. She wants to, you know, run the fast break and she wants to shoot threes. And, you know, they've been doing all three of those things, although the threes haven't been falling. But I feel like Ohema has provided the coach with the talent to like accompany that game plan. And not to say that Ohemo was like, oh, I'm going to do this for that reason. I think they just aren't on the same page with that stuff. But I think Coach Nat has a game plan, and I think she has the tools to run it. And I think, you know, had it been for someone else with a different game plan, maybe it's a different outcome right now. But I think just them wanting to run up and down the court, them basically playing playoff level defense every single game and just shocking teams out the gate. Like, I think the Aces were just like knocked on their butt in the first quarter and just like could not get up the entire game just by the level of intensity that the Valkyries came out with. It feels like no one wants it more than the Valkyries every single game.
I wonder if there's a little bit of the league, the vets of this league. No, you know, it's kind of a long season. We're not even a quarter of the way through. Two more games and we'll be a quarter of the way through. And the Valkyries are just right out of the gate. It almost feels like a college team where they're just, you know, you see Carla Lake come in and she's just like pressing, like she's guarding full court. You're like, come on, get out of here. I'm trying to bring the ball up. And you have this, you know, someone who's kind of defending hard. And it is their defensive pressure and their ability to deflect and to make steals. Like, that's their identity. And Kayla Thornton, who, if I'm remembering the stat correctly, she never had more than a steal a game, leads the WNBA right now in steals at like three a game or almost three a game. Like, that's impressive. And the question I would ask is why? And I think they're allowing her some individual defensive matchups that where she is picking up ball handlers and stuff. But a lot of this is just like anticipation. Like, she had a steal against the Sparks where she figured out where the person who was going to make the pass made the pass before they did. She just like was like, okay, this is where the ball's going. I'm going to wait for her to turn, and then I'm just going to jump this pass and I'm going to grab it and I'm going to go all the way down the court for a layup. Like, that's the stuff that she's looking for. And I just, you know, you kind of wonder, like, did they unlock this from her? She's a 32-year-old vet. She's not like this young player who's, you know, she's not the Jonathan Kuminga of the Valkyries or anything, where you're just like trying to unlock different pieces of the game. Like, she's getting opportunity to be the lead dog on a team. And she's been playing some really, really good basketball these last three games.
Yeah, I think she's at a point where, you know, I'm looking at her WNBA reference page outside of the, like, I'll be honest, outside of the New York Liberty years, like, I wasn't too familiar with her career. And she spent a lot of time in Dallas, majority of her career in Dallas. She, this is a career high in minutes per game at 31.1 with the Valkyrie. So clearly there's opportunity for her, and she's been taking the most of it. But in 2019, she also played 30.4 minutes per game. But I've got to imagine after those New York Liberty years where it's back-to-back finals appearances for her and then a finals win, you know, and she was the sixth or seventh player on that team, sixth to eighth probably. I got to imagine she learned some things, you know, some things like what it takes to be, you know, a winning basketball team, a championship basketball team, that she's brought with her in this new role where, you know, she has the opportunity to kind of do whatever she wants, but she knows what the right things are to do now because she's seen it and she's seen winning and she's seen championship singular, I think. So, I think this is just a perfect, you know, time in her career for her to have this opportunity. And, you know, not many players are going to be able to do that, to have that opportunity, you know, play for a brand new team, not have much expectation, but still be able to just bring it.
So the latest news about this team is Kiara Linskins was cut, but according to her, she requested it, which is kind of
a theory.
Well, we were talking about this last week, which is she was not going to go to Eurobasket, and we believe is because she wanted to utilize this opportunity to stick on the WNBA roster. But right after the Aces game, right, they came to agreement to cut her, and she says that this was something that she requested.
Yeah, my theory is that because, you know, she did say that. She said, like, this is a unique opportunity. I kind of want to play it all the way through. This is her rookie year. she's not of rookie age. She's an older a player, Julie Van Loo's best bud. And I think that, you know, because this would have been the opportunity had everyone gone to Eurobasket for her to get extended playing time. But I think my theory is that the Valkyries told her, like, hey, the plan is to cut you when we, you know, if you're staying here to get playing time and missing this national to play for your national team, this opportunity, sure. But here we're letting you know right now, like, the plan is probably to cut you when this tournament is over because Ileana Rupert is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can have the option. Would you like to stay and play the increased minutes? Because you're going to get increased minutes. Temi's gone. You're going to be the backup five. Monique's going to start. But you're going to be cut after. Or do you want to go play for a national team? That's my theory. Just because it's such a 180, right? From what mm-hmm. she had said. And to be fair, she had said that before she was started getting DMPs, I think. Like, I think it was around the second or third game of the season that she said that. But that's just that. That's what when I read the articles, when I saw the quotes, like that was my take on it.
Now, also because of Eurobasket, Cecilia Zandalesini is on her way to play, and they temporarily suspended her contract, which is some sort of cap thing, I believe. People were wondering, like, oh my gosh, she got suspended because she's going to play Euro. I think it's more like a contract and cap related.
That's why we should have had Richard on today, because I have some contract questions too. That would be like, just the NBA does, WNBA does a terrible job at explaining this stuff.
Yeah, because it's like really confusing. Like
it is,
and it is the one thing that is really different from the NBA because they don't have these issues in the NBA. And a fan favorite from the preseason, Leticia. I always forget.
Amihir.
She's back. She averaged like something like 12 or 13 points a game in the preseason, and they brought her back to take up one of these roster spots. And
on a rest of season contract. That's what I wanted, Richard. I read an article. I actually, before this podcast, I read an article that he wrote a couple of years ago about a rest of season contract. And it's essentially a contract that's just, you know, if it's signed any time past the first day of the season, it's considered a rest of season contract. And then, you know, comes with like a prorated amount of like the time spent on the team. So if Amihir spends like, I think Richard's example a couple of years back was like, if she spends like 30 days out of the 107 hypothetical days in a season, that's how you would calculate her. You'd take like the base minimum maybe from a contract and do the calculation, a fraction, 30 out of 107, and then that would be the contract. But it also, it counts. The interesting thing about that, the interesting thing about the rest of season contract that she signed is that it counts as a service year the first day that you're there, whereas some of these different types of hardship contracts mm-hmm. don't, or replacement contracts don't count as a service year. And by service year, that also becomes a thing when it comes to the prioritization rule, where I'm not equipped to come in with full knowledge and educate people on, but prioritization rule, what is like 2 or 3 years of service time that starts to come into effect. So I think it is, you know, for Ami here, this is her third or fourth year, but now having one day of this rest of season contract, it's now her fourth year or something like that. Just something to keep in mind. Not the biggest deal, but something I found interesting is that even one day is considered a service year. If she gets cut tomorrow, that was year three. Congratulations, year three.
And so obviously the players that we mentioned who we believed were going to go play in Eurobasket, Julie Van Loo and Janelle Salon, and who's the last player?
Temi.
And Temi. They, with those three players, so they're going to have to add more players so that they can get to the minimum players that they need. And they signed Ariel Powers today. I was trying to figure out why Ariel Powers was not on a roster. Did she get cut before the season started? Like, what happened? Because I believe she was on the Dream at some point, but I don't see that she even played this year yet.
She hasn't played this year. I thought I saw, you know, a video or a report that she was maybe in Indiana's training camp this season. But I'm right there with you. It seems like the Valkyries like their Atlanta Dream players with both Amihir and Powers on the same roster last year. But I thought for sure with Linskins being waived, with Temi eventually going to be out of here, that they were going to sign a center. Because Monique Billings at 6'4", yeah, Temi's 6'4", but Monique, I kind of always felt like was kind of like our small ball five in a sense. And now she's going to be primary five with who to be the backup five. Talbot? Like, I don't know.
Talbot can't even get on the floor.
Yeah. So I was surprised at the Ariel Powers signing just because I thought that positionally it was going to be a five.
Maybe it's just the way that they see the players who are going to get on the court. Got to be able to handle the ball, got to be able to run, and they're just playing pressure defense. So maybe that's the identity and that's the belief. But I think they have to, right? They're going to have to bring in a big, because even though Monique Billings has actually played pretty well of late, she's actually also, and she, you know, I mentioned Kayla Thornton. Monique Billings doesn't have the same opportunities necessarily, but you're seeing her on the court. Like, didn't she stand up Asia in that Vegas game? Like, she like blocked her shot. Like,
that's a crazy play. Yeah. That was an awesome play.
And so it's good to see her get some run and play well. But yeah, because it's just by bodies, like they don't have many tall bodies to plug in. So they're going to have to bring in a big, because, you know, you're going to play like a bunch of threes with you're going to play like all wings, I guess, otherwise.
Yeah, I was looking and I couldn't find anything Ariel Powers with who she was with this training camp. She might have just not been with. That doesn't sound right, though, just to completely not be with a team on training camp. This kind of happened very recently, so we didn't have as much time to prep for the Ariel Powers thing. Since this is originally a Warriors podcast, Andre Iguodala, I think closer to the bubble, I think it was around then or maybe a year before, he had tweeted that number 23 on the Mystics is nice, and it was actually in reference to Ariel Powers, who took offense to the tweet and said, you know, like basically like, oh, say my name, don't say number 23. And it you know, we don't know Andre personally, but I feel like just based off of the person we've seen that he obviously
I've met Andre twice, so you can speak for yourself.
And we know someone with his phone. We know someone with his phone number. But I think, of course, Andre didn't mean any of it, like to make her upset. He said that as a nice thing, but
he does that to male basketball players as well.
He does, but he left a comment on the Valkyries page today with Ariel Powers.
I did see that. That was funny. There's a Reddit thread, and you kind of sometimes you know where Reddit threads go, but they were trying to ascertain why she wasn't on a team earlier this season, and some believed that it was because of maybe. I don't know.
Be careful.
Negative stigma around her in some way. I don't know enough about it, but that was what they thought was going to be the thing.
One look on her Twitter page and she's a gamer. So unless if
someone
teams
did said maybe she was just going to play Twitch.
Do video games. Yeah. People aren't cool with video gamer athletes. I don't know.
Yeah, I did not take that Reddit thread seriously necessarily, but that's the only thing I could find about why possibly she wasn't on a roster. There's just something negative about her personality or something. I don't know.
Beats me. No clue.
Okay, so all of that to open this show. And I wanted to ask this question, and we do this for every team. Brad and I just did this on Thompson to Clark with the Giants. And I wanted to pose this as, are the Valkyries good? And the sub question is, do you believe that they actually have a shot to compete for a playoff spot. 13 teams, 8 teams make the playoffs. Can they be one of the top 8 teams?
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Like, yes, but also no. Just there are teams that are underperforming right now that I feel like the Valkyries have been able to catch on maybe a moment where they're injured, but at the same time, it's like, you know, everyone's injured, so you don't put an asterisk on that win by any means. But the Los Angeles Sparks, they've now beaten 2 out of 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Opening night, they lose by what, 15? Second time they play them, a little more on the blowout side, I feel like. It was maybe in the 20s that they beat them by. And then this last time it went to OT. But of course, the Sparks are missing their number 2 pick from last year's draft, Cameron Brink, who's coming back in the next couple of days, or sounds like that she's going to be back really soon.
She actually took offense. She's been so good on social media, and she finally took offense and said, "Hey, man, I'm almost there. This was really hard. Quit like saying that I should be out there when I'm rehabbing."
Sorry, Cam.
I think people are just excited to see her out there.
Yeah, because, I mean, again, I don't want to talk bad about the Sparks bigs, but it was just like so just. I just couldn't believe what I was watching, in the sense of, you had the big do what the Valkyries were doing on defense. Like, say, Temi, right? Temi's really good with her speed. She's very fast. Temi would. What is it called when you're like, you know, you're getting screened? And then so the help defender shoots the screen, like goes over it and mm-hmm. like hard helps like for mm-hmm. a second,
hedge,
help and recover.
Like a hedge,
help and
yeah.
recover.
Yeah.
Like Temi does that really well because she's so fast and she could, you know, help and quickly recover. But the Sparks players against Julie Van Loo, where the big just knows she's too slow to help and recover, she would just hedge double. I was like, Julie Van Loo hasn't hit a 3-pointer in I don't know how long. You don't need to. You could just back up all the way and play drop mm-hmm. coverage against Julie Van Loo, mm-hmm. against Carla, who was 0-of-8 from 3. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the game plan here? Of why would you shoot the screen? Why would you help and double her? And then Julie, just being the great passer she is, just boom roller every single time. And I was just like, this doesn't happen if Cameron Brink's here. You know, the Sparks don't have a first round pick in this upcoming draft. And I haven't fact checked this. I'm pretty sure I just heard Sabrina Merchant say this like on a podcast once. So that's what I'm going off of. And I meant to fact check what the draft looked like next year. But I'm pretty sure Chicago doesn't have their pick either. And both teams are like underperforming like crazy. So, you know, the Sparks with Plum, with Hamby, with Rakia, with Cam, like, I'd like to think that they probably have a better chance at the 8th playoff spot than the Valkyries do. And then even when I look Chicago's way, like, I think, you know, that coach has I was watching some games, and I'd look at the stats sheet, and I'd like, why is this? They have like a Valkyries level spread offense in terms of field goal attempts, like where everybody eats. And I'm like, wait, but you guys have Camila Cardoso and you guys have Angel Reese, like players that you could probably have eat up the shot attempts just because they're really talented. Like, you don't need to do the Valkyries thing where it's like, we don't have someone like that. So kind of everybody eats. And so I feel like, you know, them as well could, and they have Powers, Ariel Atkins, not Ariel Powers as well, who they traded for and traded a pick for that, a couple picks for that. So it's like they had, they thought that they were going to easily be in the playoff, maybe not easily, but they thought they would have a chance at the playoffs this year. So I feel like those two teams specifically is kind of the ones I'm looking at right now of like, do the Valkyries have, you know, they started off hot, but do they have what it takes to kind of stay at this eighth seed pace that the Sparks in Chicago, like Chicago looks pretty bad right now. Like, you know, I don't know if maybe Chicago, they need, I feel like they need some drastic changes. Like they just have a brand new head coach. Like, I don't know, scrap the game plan. I don't know how long that takes to do and change, but I would have thought that Chicago and Los Angeles definitely would be in the playoff hunt. I'm thinking like NBA brain. Like, if you don't have your first round pick, you have nothing to do but try to contend, right? Because you can't tank. You don't have your first round pick.
Speaking of that, I was looking at the Tankathon website, and you're right. No Sparks pick, but they say that Chicago does have Connecticut's first round pick. So Chicago does have a pick, but the Sparks.
Connecticut doesn't have their pick.
Connecticut does not have their, no, Connecticut actually does have a pick, but they have Phoenix's pick. So that would be, they have Phoenix's pick and they have New York's pick. So there, if they had their own pick, like right now, they'd be in the fifth spot, but because they don't, they have Phoenix's pick and New York's pick. They are currently have two first round picks at 12 and 14.
Yep.
And the funny thing is, and maybe not so funny as we get closer to the end of the season and the draft order in 2026 NBA draft, WNBA draft, the Valkyries are actually behind the two expansion teams who automatically get put in, you know, after the first five.
So that would be, that would suck if the Valkyries were the eight. I mean, so it would be so cool to go to a playoff, you know, because of the new rules, we would actually get a home game if we were the eighth seed. Would be like so electric, probably a ticket that I couldn't even get, but I would try hard to.
Valhalla would be rocking.
We'd probably like say it's probably the Liberty, or it's probably Minnesota. Obviously, we would probably lose that first round. And
they
then
played Minnesota pretty well, and they played New York in one of the games pretty well, but they got smoked in that other one.
I'm just not ready. I'm not there yet. I'm not there to even like entertain the idea of like meaningful basketball that they would beat the two best teams.
You know who's there right now, though? Joey Lacob. He's there. Him and Pajemski, they're ready. They're already thinking about their fits for the playoffs. Like Pajemski, he's got the he's thinking about the glasses he's gonna wear. He's ready. You know the one game he didn't go to was the Aces game.
You know that's the one game I didn't go to too. So maybe me and Pods are just the bad luck charm. And I'm probably not going to go to the game this Saturday against Seattle. I was already researching. Like, I've been watching college hoops for this purpose. I've been keeping up with the international names for this purpose. I thought we were going to be a top three pick, and I'm not.
Well, upset. But we will have one of the top picks coming. Her name is Yuste. She will be here.
I even told Yuste who I thought that they were going to get with the first or second pick in this year's draft. She'll have to confirm that one day, but I'm caught off guard here but here's the thing. Okay. Once again, you know, we've said it every podcast, eventually this will stop being said, but this is, we have NBA background. We know a lot of our comparisons go to NBA first before WNBA. Yep. And 2023 Utah Jazz is whatever the first year where they got rid of Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. Mm-hmm. I got to talk to Tony Jones, who was the Athletics beat writer for the Utah Jazz, And I realized going into the podcast, I was like, I have nothing. I don't know what I want to talk about this team. I think they're going to suck. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we do the podcast, and it actually turns out that the Utah Jazz started off like in on pace for like top three seed within the first like pre-All-Star break. Like they were on pace to easily be a playoff team with no Donovan Mitchell, with no Rudy Gobert. And a lot of articles were written about it, like trying to figure out why. And some articles came to the conclusion that they were really well conditioned. that the Utah training camp just got them super conditioned. And also, like, you know, other teams weren't used to this version. Like, you needed film to like understand how to beat this version because it's never been seen before, you know, of this accumulation of players. And I do you think there's any of that with the Valkyries? One, they look like they can beat anyone in a sprint race because they just want to play fast the whole time. Will other teams eventually catch up and become more conditioned? I don't know. Two, do other teams just need more film to know, like, hey, maybe we should play drop against Julie and Carla until they beat us from three?
I mean,
you know, like
that would be the thing. I would do the whole thing that the Warriors do and just like leave one person completely unattended to and see if that helps. Guard a 5-on-4 on part of the court and just, you know, leave some of these shooters just wide open. So, okay. So here's you mentioned Sabrina, the great Sabrina Merchant. Here's her power rankings. So New York 1, Minnesota 2, Seattle 3, Atlanta 4, Indiana 5, Phoenix 6, Valkyrie 7, Vegas 8, Washington 9, Los Angeles 10, Connecticut 11, Chicago, and then Dallas. Okay, this is how I know that the Valkyries are probably a little bit better than maybe even people think today. And it's because the amount of pieces I saw after the Aces lost to the Valkyries about how they need to, they're done. They need to like figure something out. They need to blow it up. They need to, you know, they're too old, whatever it is. And then Kelsey Plum last night after the game, she was like, I don't give a crap if I'm going to get fined. They foul me on every play. So it's like this, these pesky Valkyries are like getting under player's skin. And Kelsey was awesome. She could do whatever she wanted in that game. Just step back three after step back three. Just her teammates, like you said, you know, her teammates did not have the best game.
That shot was crazy with that, the one that went, they went up by two with that shot. And then Carla had to hit the floater to go to OT. Like that shot was pretty crazy.
She looked like, I mean, it was like Harden-esque, but
yeah,
even sweeter because she, you know, she's smaller than Harden, so yeah, she's got to create even more distance with that hop. But then, you know, and then again, like they wallop the Aces, and people think now the Aces are just so bad. And it's like, well, maybe they aren't great. They're a little long in the tooth. Maybe they have to figure some things out. They have some new players, but maybe the Valkyries are just a little bit better than you guys thought. And when you come into Valhalla and you kind of expect to play an expansion team, and maybe in the first quarter, you're kind of just like playing with your food and you're like, oh my gosh, they just smacked us in the face. I guarantee you the next time they play the Aces, it's not going to be like that because they're just going to be ready. They're going to be like, okay, we don't want that to happen again. So that is some proof that I believe the Valkyries might just be a little bit better than people expect them to. And like you said, you get more tape. There's more expectation. Then the next time these teams play the Valkyries, they're going to have to strategically going to have to play a little differently. But also the players on the court, they're going to be like, you know, imagine you're Asia. And yeah, you know, Kate Martin is like your little Padawan. But Kate Martin was out there trying to kick your butt. And you were like, uh-oh, she was ready. That was a really good Kate Martin game. And Kate has been playing a lot better from the beginning of the season where we were like, I don't know if she's athletic enough to play. And nope, she's not the greatest athlete, but she's so smart. She creates opportunity and space for herself, and she almost always makes the right play at the same time. There are some times where she thinks she's got an open three, and then they close on her so quickly and it gets blocked. But most of the time, when she shoots, it's the right play. When she passes, it's the right play. She's got some decent half decent ball handling skill as well, and so it's been fun to watch her. But okay, so let's look at the schedule here.
Before we move to the schedule, I just wanted to just like kind of sit on that Aces game for a couple mm-hmm. more minutes. Just like mm-hmm. how like it's got to not feel, it's got to be like more like morality, like draining or losing. Like Coach Nat was the lead assistant to the Las Vegas Aces last year, and her
knows
game
that team
plan,
knows the best players better than most, right?
And her game plan was, we want Asia to have nothing and everyone else can have anything. If you're Jackie Young, if you're Chelsea Gray, if you're Kia Stokes, if you're, you know, someone who was, I'm not going to say Jewel Lloyd, but someone who was on that team last year when Coach Nat was there, and she said, you can have anything, we just don't want Asia to have anything. and then she was right. I don't know. Like I would, that would stick with me, I guess is all I'm saying. I just think that's crazy. Like, how did Jackie Young not like go crazy? How did some of the, I was just so surprised that that game plan worked so well, as well as it did, just to, you know, right when Asia got the ball, everyone sunk in, left all shooters. And I feel like Aaliyah Nye, I think her name was, guard from Alabama, was kind of the only one that was able to semi take advantage of it. That's just all I wanted to bring up. Like, how?
But that, isn't that their game plan, though? Aren't they like one of the better teams at stopping points in the paint? And you saw the one game that they got blown out where they didn't have a chance, and that was the New York Liberty just being able to bomb threes, and they couldn't stop that. So that does look like it is mostly the game plan, is exactly what you said.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a different level with Asia, where just like everyone, it's just, I mean, all eyes were right when Asia gets the ball at the free throw line, all eyes are on Asia, whereas less eye, like, and I mean, you know, I think Becky's got to send cutters. I don't think everyone should just be standing, you know, still. But everyone stood still and everyone was wide open. I don't know how many wide open looks Jackie Young had that she just, and Jackie Young's supposed to be one of the best, not best players in the league, but I don't know, top 12. I was just shocked that she,
they were allowed to play very physical with Asia as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. The reason why I wanted to look at the schedules, because, you know, it's all nice and stuff to go, oh, can they possibly make the playoffs? But then you go, okay, the Seattle Storm are coming into town. That's going to be a tough one. Seattle Storm are very good. But then you get to go to Dallas, and Dallas is not a good team. I would imagine Paige will be able to. Has she come back yet? Because I know she had to miss two games, but it feels like it's been past the two games.
Available on Wednesday tomorrow against Phoenix.
Okay. And then
most people will be hearing this.
And then next Thursday, so they have a lot of time off in between games here. They don't play again until Saturday, so they have almost a whole 5 days off. And then they play again Tuesday, and then Thursday at home, and that's the Caitlin Clark game, and that'll be a crazy game for the Chase Center. But at the same time, if Caitlin's there, that's a tough one. They run, you know, you mentioned that whole pick and roll thing, like they run that like crazy. They just spam it with her and Aaliyah Boston. So that'll be a tough one. And then the game that we are thinking of going to, at least going to try, the Connecticut Sun against the Valkyries. So if you go 2-2, I think that's pretty good. So if you beat the teams that you probably should beat, Dallas and Connecticut, and then you lose to the teams you should lose to, Indiana and Seattle, That's not bad. I think you're still in the mix, and you're still kind of a little bit of the talk of the league.
If as a fan, like you, of course, you know, I don't want them to be like terrible, but like you want them to be the eighth seed, like or at the very least. Like it seems like you want them to go to the playoffs.
I like the games that they're close. You know, most of their games have been close. I like seeing a team play close games and they cannot get over the hump. Like the Liberty game, the second Liberty game, that was one where they were kind of right there. And then that Phoenix game where they kind of got away from them in the fourth. The Minnesota game was close, but that was more of a third quarter game where Minnesota kind of took over and then the Valkyries had to come back. But two games against really good basketball teams and you fall short. And then you go, oh, I wonder if they've sort of figured anything out from those experiences. And then it looks like they did because they were able to close out the Sparks. Like that was very impressive the way that they had the lead, they gave it up, they came back. Carla late hitting lefty floaters like that, just the way that they played down the stretch, I was just very impressed with. And some of that has to be the experience that they gained from those other games. Some of it is also just that the Sparks aren't as good as those other teams. But I like watching a team sort of evolve and learn and grow while you're watching. Like that's what's really fun about this. I don't have any unrealistic expectations that they're going to be like a top five team. That is not, they just don't have the individual talent that some of these other teams have. Like they probably don't even have a top 20 player in the league. I don't know how far you would get until you say, okay, maybe top 25 or something like that. Because on different days, it's different people. Like certain days, it's Veronica Burton. Then it's Kayla Thornton. Then it's Janelle Salon. Like you, all three of those women have been the best player in the game for them, you know, over the last couple weeks. So there's not one particular person who's going to carry them or who they even depend on carrying them. It's like a new person each game. So now if you tell me Joey Lacob's like, oh, trade deadline is here and we're going to bring in a
unload. Oh, you're going the opposite way.
Joey Lacob's like, we're going to bring in, you know, a top 20 player because we need that go-to score in the fourth. And you're like, uh-oh, now he's going for it. Now he's trying to get the top six or top five. Maybe he's looking for two home games for the playoffs. I do not think that's going to happen, by the way. But what if they kind of hang in there and they're like, you know, in the top eight come trade deadline? What do you think he does?
I think trades in the WNBA are like, don't really happen because there's a hard cap and you have to make the amounts like
true
match perfectly. But the Valkyries do have cap space, so it's like not entirely impossible. If anything, I thought that there would be like, okay, like Stephanie Talbot is getting DNPs right now.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if Amihir does like kind of like show out and like I could see Amihir getting Talbot's spot, Talbot gets cut so that Rupert can join the team and then Powers would get cut too. But what I'm saying is like, I don't know. I just feel like, yes, if we played Vegas again, things would be different. They probably wouldn't be that cold. They probably wouldn't, you know, just not expect how hard the Valkyries were going to play. They'd game plan for some stuff, but I just can't help but think like, you know, shooters would help them. Like Steph Talbot would probably help them. Of course, Kate Martin would help them. That's why we took her. So I just wonder if they're going to be able to find spots like that where, like, you know, Steph's not getting much time and, you know, and there might not be as much of a future with her on this team anyway. Can you get a something for that? I don't know. That's kind of where I was thinking, but definitely I wasn't thinking anywhere like, oh, Kayla would get us a first round pick right now. Like, let's dish that out. Like, no, I'm not on board with that. But I think towards the back of the bench, is where I could potentially see it happening. I'm not anticipating any trades though, especially at the top.
You know, like, I mean, them competing and even winning some of these home games. I think Lacob likes filling up that arena.
I think you're right. You know, they've sold out every single game and they'll probably do it again on Saturday. But man, for the, again, for those who follow the NBA, like Janelle Salon would get you like a, I'm trying to think of like a, not like a rookie who plays like her in the NBA, but just someone of that value. You could already see that Janelle's just so like, would fetch a lot of something, a lot of value if the, she was ever in a trade talk. And I don't think she ever should be, nor will be. I hope that Janelle is a Valkyrie for a long time because I'm, she's so good.
she can hit contested shots, man. That is kind of like her game. Like it's almost like, you know, you see a lot of these players today, they step back to create the space. She doesn't even really step back. She just shoots over the top. And that line drive thing sometimes just goes in at it, just at a crazy pace. Like the thing goes in like a heat, like a missile. So it's been fun to watch. Okay, so we'll keep an eye on what's going on with the team this week. So no games until Saturday. So we'll try and figure out if we can come back next week. I think we probably can. It's just Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm going to be out. Brad's coming to town. So I'm going to be at some Giants games with him. And Thursday, depending on if you go to the Valkyries and Fever, we can sort of figure that out. And then, like I said, Sunday, we're going to be at, more than likely be at the game against the Connecticut Sun. So that'll be a lot of fun. And we could probably, we'll put some stuff on YouTube from that, just being at that game. But all right, so that's it from here. Want to shout out all of the YouTube comments we've been receiving. A lot of international YouTubers who are following specific players in the WNBA on the Valkyries because the Valkyries have opened their arms to the international players. So love seeing the comments, keep them coming. Also looking for possibly a place to have some more Valkyries community going on. So that's something I'm keeping my eye on. If you have any ideas, send me an email, gg@bspnmedia.com. All right, that's it from here. So for Bri, I am Double G. See you when we see you. Peace out.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.